So we want to look at what the Bible says is a very important part of living a good and enjoyable life. So I'm going to ask you to stand as the first slide comes on as we look at the missing piece in your journey to God's best. And I'm going to invite you to read along with me out loud, just kind of catch my cadence and join in if you would. Let's begin Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Out loud. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. All right, let's just stop and all our kids remember that. Let's go home. Amen? All right, no, we'll keep going. All right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Lord, we commit your word, Father, to our hearts today, asking that your Holy Spirit would allow us not to be, just people who listen to the word, but we live it out. Holy Spirit, come and guide us in this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If I would go around this morning and just say, what are you asking? What would you like God to do in your life? Most of you, in one way or another, would reflect the words of Ephesians 6, 3. I would like God to bless my life in such a way that it would go well with me and that I would enjoy a long life on this earth. Most of us would say something in that regard. The desire to live a good life, to experience all of life, it's inbred in all of us. God's made us to be people who want to know his life. And so we want to live well. I did a Google search on the words live well, and there are 142 million websites that offered me tips on how to live well. And it's amazing the number of products that I need in my life in order to live well. You know, there are some that you would expect. There were health supplements. There are exercise programs. There are home builders and communities I should go. If I want to live well, a major revelation occurred to me as I was not aware that in order to live well, there is actually a brand of toilet that I should be using and in my house. And it hit me, that's what's wrong with my life. I have the wrong commode. So I'll be changing that and hope to live well from then on. It's just amazing what this world says I need in order to live well, whether it's a whole cable network that's developed or GNC's got a whole brand on it, or fishing equipment that will help me live well. I mean, it's all out there, and that's, if I'm going to live well, that's what I need. The Bible says that need to live well is why it's great to use that as a gimmick to buy just about anything, because all of us want it. And yet, right there in the Bible is a very simple promise. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on this earth. I think it's a beautiful part of what we experience on Mother's Day. And actually, we just had a great model of it this past week from League MVP Kevin Durant, and thought you might want to see that again.
8 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street. Put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You the real MVP. Like to thank God again. He's the first and the last, Alpha and Omega. I thank you for saving my life. I appreciate it.
Amen. Had to throw that last part in there. And just because he got a technical foul the next day, you know, it doesn't mean, I mean, his heart's good with Jesus, so it's good. It's a picture of honoring that's appropriate in Kevin's story. But not all of our stories are the same when it comes to the parents we've grown up with. Some of us, it's been a very difficult thing and a painful part of our life. And it's hard to understand how the Bible in the Ten Commandments itself says to honor your parent for life to go well with you. As you see on the beginning of the outline on the front page, I say, you know, that issue of honoring a parent is probably the most missed and misunderstood piece of the journey we have to finding God's best. And so this morning, I can't complete the process of what it means for you to come to peace with honoring your parent, but I believe that the Lord can speak to each one of us in a very powerful way, set aside some misconceptions, and then also bring us to a place of freedom so that the path that does go through the cross, it does go through some hard things, it does go through dying to self in order for the right things to live in our life, that this part of life to honor our parents would be put into place so that the full picture of God's blessing can be known. I want to begin by making a simple observation from the Ten Commandments, that scripture that Paul references, the fifth commandment of honor your father and mother. It's in Deuteronomy 6:13 and Exodus 20. And I want you to just note something simple about what honor is not. And it's this. Honor is not, the command to honor does not mean to unconditionally trust, agree, imitate, or submit. What we're going to find out is when Paul mentions the principle of honoring your father and mother, he begins the conversation with actually applying it to a certain life stage. He uses the Greek word for children, which is literally the word that says non-adult. It means you're a minor. And he says, if you're in your parents' house, if you're a minor, you haven't gone to the age where you're making your own living, then to honor is to obey your parents in the Lord. It's honor and obedience. Those two go together. But what he says when he makes that, he says there are other stages of life, not just when you're a minor, but other stages that you have to honor that look a little different. And I think it's just common sense that we recognize that when God gave us the Ten Commandments, the Ten Rules that work for every life, no exceptions, everybody, if they want to know life, the Ten Commandments are the rules we follow in order to do that, that he gave us the command that all of us are to honor our parent. Now, that's not the same as trust, because if our parent growing up was battling addiction, then it wouldn't be a universal command to trust your parent, because they would be in a position where some of what they were going through could not be trusted. So it doesn't say trust your father and mother, it says honor them. It doesn't mean agree. If you grew up in a home that was against Christianity, and we have some members of our church, they're the first one in their family to come from a cultural background that was not Christian, and there was opposition to them coming to Christ, then of course you can't have a universal commandment that says agree with your mother and father, because you wouldn't be able to agree with them when they were saying, no, you shouldn't follow Christ. The word imitate, there are biblical reasons for divorce, and there are also reasons that are not biblical for divorce. And if a parent suffered through divorce for one reason or another, that would not be a good idea to imitate that. And so the scripture does not say imitate your father and mother, it says honor them. And of course, if you grew up in a situation in which there was abuse, and so often members of a church and just sincere good Christians, they walk with a burden in their life about some of the abuse they experience as children. Well, the scripture wouldn't say submit to abuse, so it can't, as a universal instruction, say submit to your mother and father. What it says is honor them. And as you see, it's different than these words. Now, number two, I want to point out this as well, that honor looks different by season and story. As I referenced, the word for children means not adult. Now, all of us are the children of somebody, but this word is not saying everybody who has a mom. This word is saying someone who's young, that they should obey, that they should obey their parents' instructions. And of course, verse 4, go into how parents should make sure that that is done well. But even the life of Jesus shows us that to honor a parent looks different in different seasons. And Bible scholars as well as Christian counselors will tell us that it's important to understand that the different stages of our life, honor looks differently. And Jesus actually models this for us. So we'll look at his life real quick. You don't have to write all this down. I don't know if you're familiar with all these stories, but in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it's the Christmas story, and it says that Mary wrapped Jesus in some swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger. As an infant, the relationship between the child and the parent is one of total dependence. Jesus didn't get to choose what clothes he wore or where he was laid. The parent decided. This week, I'm looking at Beth Craig over here. She teaches my son Caleb's first grade class, and it was Teacher Appreciation Week. And so on Monday, you were supposed to wear your teacher's favorite color. Well, Caleb does not, for some reason, that day decided he didn't like the color blue. And we told him, you have to wear the color blue to school today. And he put it on, and he came downstairs literally like this. I mean, literally like this. I mean, I was like, Caleb, it's not that big of a deal, bro. Just, you know. Now, you know, when Caleb's 30 years old, you know, I'm not going to be, Caleb, put on the blue shirt, you know. Yeah, it's just, that's not going to happen. At one stage, there's a dependence, okay? But on another stage, when he's older, I don't have the same authority in his life. Luke 2:51 through 52 is the story of when Jesus was 12 years old and he was at the temple. His parents left the temple, didn't know he was still there, took 3 days to come back and find him, and Jesus said, didn't you know I'd be here? And we're all imagining that Mary and Joseph at that point were going to smack the Son of God. You know, they're probably a little upset with him. But it says he went back with them, and the scripture in verse 52 literally says, and he was obedient to his parents. It says it. So in that verse, we see that as Jesus, as a, you know, an early teenager, he was obedient. He walked in obedience, and at the same time, he was becoming an individual. He didn't quite do everything as his parents, didn't have the same thoughts and didn't have the same perspective. He was beginning to individuate, become his own person that's healthy. Now, in Matthew 12, we have the story of Jesus at age 30. He's begun his ministry. He's teaching in a house. His brothers and sisters, his mother, brothers and sisters, and yes, Jesus did have brothers and sisters, okay? Wouldn't you love to witness some of that? You know, who's going to clean the dishes? I don't know. He's the Son of God. He never has to clean the dishes. You know, I don't know how it goes. Something like that probably happened. But we have a story where Jesus' mother is outside and wants to talk to him. And actually, the concern is that Jesus isn't doing well. Like, maybe he's not understanding what God wants his life. And Jesus says to the crowd, you know, who are my brothers, my mother, my brothers and sisters? He said, everyone does the will of God. Now, the story doesn't really, the point of the story was that, the you know, whoever does the will of God becomes a family. So we don't see that Jesus probably did come out and speak to his mom and stuff like that. He wasn't cold to her. But it does show us that at a certain point in life, our leading and our guidance, our mission in life is bigger than our family, and so it should be. It doesn't give this model where I'm always at home and always, you know, always whatever, my family first, that's it, and, you know, I don't really have an individual life. It's like, no, you've got a calling. Now, Jesus in Matthew 19, a young ruler comes up to him and asks, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And what does Jesus say? Follow the commandments. And Jesus specifically mentions, honor your father and mother. So Jesus affirms that there's no stage of life even for a rich young ruler who's got it all, you need to honor your father and mother. Of course, in that same chapter, Jesus teaches on marriage, and what does he say? There's a time when a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. So Jesus teaches that there's a time to come out from under the authority and really the daily control of your parents. And it's a very important and healthy thing to do. But then in John 19, we have the picture of Jesus on the cross. He's vulnerable, he's weak, he's powerless. And on the cross with his mother brokenhearted in front of him, and the disciple John, he calls to the disciple John on the cross in pain and says, mother, behold your son, son, behold your mother. And Jesus on the cross is taking care of his mother even in his worst moment. And so what we see is even in the life of Jesus, there is this honoring, but it's not always the same. It's always one that honors, and we're going to give you that definition in a second, but it's not always one that it's whatever mom wants or whatever obedience. And it's important to recognize that God has a plan for each of us to come out from under our parents' authority and begin to make our own decisions. If the parenting has been done well and if there's good relationships, we'll always have a high value. There'll be a deep love. We'll get to, with freedom, press back into our parents just because we love them, not because we have to. But we can only do that because we have that sense of being an individual. Sometimes people think honoring a parent means always being controlled by them. And actually, the scripture would say that is not the kind of relationship that God wants you to have with your parent. But it's always one of honor. So if we look at this next slide, we get to the reason we do it. We don't honor our parent because they're even our flesh and blood. I mean, the whole concept of adoption says there's a spirit at work that's even more important than our bloodline in what leads to family in our life. But the scripture says that to honor a parent, it's in the Ten Commandments, it's actually a moral decision. It's a decision of your will to live what is right. When I say a moral decision, it's just right. It's the right thing to do. Jesus says it as one of the Ten Commandments to which no one is exempt from. And Paul says it right there. Children, he's making the application of the principle to honor. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. What does he say? For this is right. It's just the right thing to do. And we need to recognize that to honor a parent is not an emotional decision. It's not a decision based on your emotions. And listen to this, it's not a reward. It's not something I do as a reward for being treated the way I would have liked to be treated. That is not what the Bible says. I mentioned before that on Tuesday, Court of Appeals will be looking at same-sex marriage. And, you know, there's really two issues there. There's the issue of how do we extend equal respect and thoughtfulness to all people, regardless of what believe or the lifestyle they have. And the other issue is, do we recognize the moral path that that homosexuality represents, that the scripture says is wrong? It's just morally wrong. And that's, you know, what's most likely going to happen on Tuesday is the court will not address the moral issue. They'll kind of absolve themselves of that, and they'll just vote on equal rights. And most likely on Wednesday, you'll be in a little bit different state that you've been in. Now, for a lot of Christians, that make them very upset, and there's a lot of concern, rightfully so, for those kind of decisions for a government to hold. But let me ask you a question. Are you that convicted about your own moral decision to honor your parent as you would about someone in a homosexual lifestyle recognizing the wrong morality of that? Because they're both the same decision. There's a moral decision you and I have to honor our parent. And the word that Paul uses when he says, for this is right, there's actually a scripture in Ephesians 5:3 where Paul says the same phrase. It's not the same word. It's the same phrase. He says in 5:3, he says to he says that coarse language would be out of place. He uses the word out of place. And what basically that scripture means is to not honor your parents is not to, it doesn't fit. When he says, for this is right, he's saying, like, this is a puzzle piece that fits. Honor your father and mother because it's the right piece. It fits in the picture of what God is making in you. So Paul says, your life is kind of like this puzzle. And it's got all these different pieces in it. And when you put them together, God's desire for your life is to bless you. His desire for your life is to bring you peace and to bring you joy. Often we look at certain sins and certain destructive behaviors and patterns and think, well, that'll give me a good life. I'll be free. I won't have to mess with things. And God say, no, I really want to give you a good life. That's the wrong piece. And I would think, I mean, I don't know how many people do puzzles, but I don't know about you, but when I do a puzzle, what's the first piece you're looking for? The corner piece, right? This is a corner piece. When you put the corner piece down, you know, when you got that, you know, grandma says, let's do the 1,000-piece puzzle of lilies in the field. And you're like, none of them look any different to me. Those, you know, what do? You go for the corner piece because the corner piece helps you begin to put together what this picture looks like. The command to honor father and mother is a corner piece of God's blessing in your life. And when you put that piece down right, it'll help connect all the other pieces the right way. When you don't have that piece, you can jam a whole bunch of pieces together and think it's the right. And, you know, eventually you see it's not, but for a while you get away with it. That's how it works. So that is what the scripture teaches, a moral decision. And here is a definition I've put together, trying to make it as practical as possible. To honor a parent, a moral decision, not an emotional decision. Whoop, where'd we go? Back one more, please. Thank you. Is to work towards, appreciate, and celebrate God's will in your parents' life. To work towards God's will, to appreciate when God's will is done in your parent, and to celebrate it when it's there. Now, I want you to just think through that definition a little bit with me, okay? To work towards. You know, some of you this morning, you're honoring your parent by growing in Christ, because that was God's will for their role in your life. I wish I could give the whole sermon on verse 4 that says how we're supposed to raise up our kids with instruction and training, and there's such a great teaching there. But you know what? God's will for your parent was that you would grow in Christ, that they would be used to help you know Christ. And maybe you had a really bad childhood, or it's just, you know, there was lots going on and your parent wasn't able to care for you well. But you know what? If you're in church today and you know the Lord, that's something to appreciate and celebrate. That somehow in the middle of all of it, the will for them to lead, to be part of making sure you got to Christ, it happened. That's something to be thankful for, sometimes even when it's not out of good circumstances. Now, sometimes when maybe a parent doesn't know the Lord or there's some real tension stuff, and most of us as families don't really know how to work through things that we need to work through, you know, maybe it's just a saying, you know, the way I honor my parent today is I can't ignore sin or the tragedy that happened, but I can give them something that encourages them towards Jesus, towards the will of God in their life. And when you do that, that's honoring your parent. And that's a good thing. To appreciate them is to recognize that. I'm going to share a story about how I realized some things I needed to do in my life to honor my dad. And one of the things, if you've read my devotional, is I really grew up with a really bad experience at church. I was in churches that fought a lot, were very mean to each other, you know, spoke in tongues and did all sorts of spiritual things in services and then treated each other like mud outside of service. And my dad had to be in a little of that, and sometimes I think my dad was pretty hard about that stuff. But I also realized, listening to a lot of my dad's conversations, that I learned to appreciate respecting people. And I just, you know, one day I was just like, you know, Dad, I just want to say thank you for just always showing me that every person in the church is worthy of respect. And then after my dad got up from passing out and said, what, you know, was that about? So, you know, I was like, hey. You know, now maybe there's some other things there I'll share a little later that were a little hard for me. And I wish he would have made some different choices there. But you know what? There was something I could appreciate because that value worked for me to be the pastor I am. You know, maybe for you there were some things that were hard and something you needed, but maybe there was the sense of, hey, Dad, thanks for, or Mom, thanks for thanks for always looking out or not giving up, or thanks for teaching me how to take care of money or pushing me to do well at where I was. But there's always something that we can appreciate and still have the right boundaries and still work on the things we need to work on. And we need to be part. We need to honor our parents is to appreciate those things. And then in the right setting at the right times, we need to celebrate God's will in their life. These are important things that God has called us to do. And there's one final thing about honor I want to share with you, and it's this. Honor gives you the freedom to enjoy good life. You know, when I was in college, every once in a while we'd go on a little road trip, and you know, there were some things that was like, you know, let's go, you know, we were in Pennsylvania, it's like, let's go to New York or Jersey, hit the shore, something like that. And I'd look at my friend's car and think, I don't think that's going to get us there, you know? It's like, that's great, we know where we're going, but I don't think that will get us there. You know, honor is the one choice we make in our relationship with parents that will get us all the way to a life that the promise is there that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life. Psalm 119:32 says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Anytime we follow the commands of God, and this is an important one, this is a corner piece in the puzzle, there's a freedom that will come to our lives. And so I want to encourage you to begin to say, God, what does it look like to honor my parent? I find that many people have two reactions that tell them they can't honor their parent. One is their parent's been over-controlling, and so because of that, it's like, well, I can't honor him because if I open myself up to him, I'll be controlled by him again. It's like, no, you can have a healthy adult-to-adult relationship in which you have boundaries, but you need to honor, you need to work towards, appreciate, and celebrate God's work in their life. And then there are other times that things are unresolved and they feel like if they honor them here, then that's not properly recognizing that this over here that was hurtful needs to be worked on. And the scriptures say, no, actually, if you honor them here, this will open up the healing over in this area. And so don't not honor them because of this, but actually let your heart become free so that this has the possibility to heal. Now, a few weeks ago, my dad just took on a church in the inner city of Richmond. He's about six blocks away from Gilpin Court, and I'm hoping we can have a cool sister relationship with their church. It's called the Church at Richmond, although I guess technically we're the kids and they're the parent because it's my dad's church. I'm not sure how that's going to work. And my dad asked me for his installation service if I would come and preach, which I thought was, you know, it was an honor that he asked. So I said yes, and I started praying about that. And again, our history as a family in church has not been good growing up. And there are some times that, you know, I think I was a little hurt my dad didn't make some different decisions and all that. And, but I was, you know, I was okay. And so as I was beginning to think through what I wanted to share, the Lord began to show me begin to show me what we're going to do today, which is communion, and then what we're not going to do today, so relax, foot washing. And begin to show me that. And I felt like the Lord was saying, Sean, I want you to wash your dad's feet at service. And I was like, whoa, no, excuse me. You know, few reasons for this. One, you know, I feel like, you know, dad, that's not a dad thing. I don't think dad's going to enjoy that. That's going to be good. You know, and I said, I realized something was in me that was like a little like, does he deserve that? Maybe, you know, it's like, and I forgot to tell you one thing about the Set Heart Free. I was at a college campus a few weeks ago, and a young lady came up and she spoke, a college student, and she said these words. I thought, man, that was a great word. She said, you're never truly free until you can freely give. You're never truly free until you can freely give. And you know, we at church, we want to make freedom about like expressions in worship, and there's all good conversation about that stuff. But real biblical freedom is I can give my life. I just give it. You know, I can give my money. Freedom financially is not the freedom from giving. It's actually having the discipline and following the Lord in such a way that you have the freedom to give. You just freely give when God leads you to give. And I realized in that moment that there was something in me that was not free to give to my dad the way I should. I've washed other people's feet. All of a sudden, couldn't wash my dad's. And the Lord really began to speak to me about that. I recognized there was a little something I hadn't dealt with. And so here's how the Lord spoke to me in that moment, because I'm hoping it'll be helpful for you in the places where you need to honor a parent and you just don't know where to go with it. Here it is. I felt like, you know, I kind of said, well, you know, I don't know if I want to do that, God, I, you know. And God said, well, let's think about me first. And so what I did was I started thinking about the cross. I thought, started thinking about how Jesus, in a minute, we're going to do communion, and we're going to look at the scripture from 1 Corinthians 11. You don't have to go there yet. But it says, on the night he was betrayed. I mean, Jesus is sharing communion. He's washing the feet of people who are going to betray him and hurt him. Some of them want to be faithful to him, but they're just not there. They're either controlled by fear or they don't even know themselves very well. And here, Jesus gives his life to people who are going to hurt him and are going to abandon him. And I begin to really think about that. Instead of thinking about, well, does my dad want this or does my dad deserve this, I just begin to think about, Jesus, what have you done for me? And that began to change me a little bit. And I felt like God went from there, said, now, Sean, think about how that grace has played out in your own life. Think about all the times that, you know, I'm here at Cornerstone for 18 years. I mean, that's a blessing. But you know what? My dad didn't have a Wayne Mancari, this lead pastor before me, to mentor him. And he doesn't have a Brandon Baldwin and a Travis Joes and a Pastor Sandy and all those great pastors, you know. He didn't have any. I begin to say, you know, God, I need to remember that although I'm a pastor, my dad's been a pastor and stuff like that, you know what? You've been very good to me, really more than I deserve. And I begin to think about that and just about my own story. And, you know, my definition of grace is this. Grace is when God helps you do what you can't do and be who you can't be on your own. That's my definition of grace. God just gives you what you can't do it, you can't be it, and God just gives you grace somehow. Sometimes there's a person, a spiritual gift, whatever. I just thought, you know, God, I started thinking about the cross and what he's done for me, and I started thinking about how that grace is there. And you know what the third thing I did? I thought about the story of Jesus on the cross. I thought about my own story and how good God's been to me. And you know what I did then? Then I thought about my parents' story. And I didn't just think about my simple, like what I wanted out of them. I thought about their story. You know, I think a lot of times we come to extremes with our parents. We either idolize them or demonize them. But what we really need to do is humanize them. What we need to remember is they're just people like you and me. You know, my dad, man, had 5 kids. Went through a few different jobs for a while. That was hard. You know, and all of a sudden I started seeing and say, you know, maybe I oversimplified and really pridefully judged some things. I was like, you know what, I know how hard it is to be a parent of 4 kids, and I know what it is just to even have a study job. But, you know, maybe, and all of a sudden there was this whole new love and desire to honor my dad that day. And so that day, sure enough, I finished the sermon. And I'm thinking, what's my dad going to think when I do this? I mean, really, I was like, this is going to be interesting. And I just said, I preached on washing of feet, and I just said how the church always has to have that kind of attitude with one another. And I said, Dad, I'd like to wash your feet. And sure enough, he came up and was very gracious about it. And as I'm washing his feet, I remember my dad preached a sermon on washing feet. And I remembered in the middle of washing, I remember what he said. He said, I've said it here on Sunday morning. I said, when you wash somebody else's feet, you can't help but get your own hands clean. And I thought of it right in the middle of washing his feet. And I felt like God said, Sean, that's what I'm doing for you right now. You know, there's a little something in there. You know, there's something you need to address. And instead of saying, well, I'm just going to focus on this, you know what? I'm just going to honor my parent. And as I honored him, God just worked all this freedom in my life. And it's such a joy, you know. And now I get to go around and we do pastors' meetings. Well, we haven't done one yet. I keep inviting him. He's like, you know, we haven't matched our schedule yet. I'm like, hey, that's my dad. You know, he's a pastor of church. And just so excited. And there was something about that that I needed to choose to, in my own heart, work towards God's will, appreciate God's will, and celebrate the part of God's will that had happened. And the other stuff gonna happen as it continues on. And I want to encourage you that that's the freedom God wants for you. You'll see on the back of the outline, I've got a few recommendations of things, because I know it's a pretty big topic for a lot of people. My prayer is today you'll just get a desire to want to grow in honoring your parent. I pray for some of you it'll be a real freeing moment today, but I recognize, so you'll notice there's some classes we're doing on Wednesday nights perfectly aligned with the topics we're talking today, as well as there's a whole part of this sermon I just didn't have time to give about just what does it look like at each stage of life to honor your parents. So I'm going to do a little 5-minute bonus video and check it up on Facebook tomorrow if you're interested. And at the end of the service, the deacons and their spouses and some of the elders will be up front. If you just want to pray, say, God, I just want to go to the next level of living the right relationship with my family, with the parent. And the Lord will bless that. But I think what we need to do now is just take those same 3 steps. And so I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's word and Holy Communion today. If you could switch sides. I know you can't read all this, but wherever you are in your story and your relationship with your parent, I want to invite you to take these 3 steps. Think about Christ's story, then think about yours, and then, with all that same grace, think about your parents' story. And as you do that, may God work a new level of freedom and joy in your relationship with your parent. 1 Corinthians 11, I'm going to read that. Going to let the ushers come down the aisle here. Appreciate all of them. Thank you, Teresa, Helena. Ushers, if you would distribute the communion now as I read, and just hold the elements as I read the scripture. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's, my Lord, the one I follow, the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That last passage says this: none of us come to communion without needing to be forgiven of sin. When it says unworthy manner, it doesn't mean, have you lived a perfect life this week? What it means is, do you remember that Jesus gave 100% of his life on the cross? And are you at this moment willing to give him 100% back? That's worthy. He gave 100%. What's your worthy response? I give 100% back. We all need grace for that to happen in our lives. But I want you to take a moment as you think, one, about honoring your parent. And I would say this, obviously there's some here, your parent has passed. I don't see in the text a honor them until they pass clause. I think we're always honoring our parent by appreciating and recognizing and coming to peace with the grace of God in our parents' life. And so I just want to encourage you that that word could still be done even in those moments when your loved one has gone to be with the Lord. But I want to encourage you today to not drink this cup and take this bread without saying, "Lord, I want to remember your mercy in my own life," so that I may not agree, approve, I may not know how to even like yet my parent, but I want to honor them. And I want to learn to love them. But God, you've got to do a work in me. And I'm just going to start with honor and let you work from there. So before you take this communion in which you remember all that Christ forgave you, Would you take a moment and allow forgiveness in your heart as we bring those things that have hurt us and our own sinful decisions to the cross? Would you pray with me? Father, I first pray for the person who's had a very painful relationship with their parent. Lord, I ask now that they would see that you're still a God of justice, that you're a God who addresses wrong. But Lord, would they also recognize that they've needed just as much mercy and grace. That, Father, that they have a need of forgiveness just like that person. That they have need of changing as much as that parent. And Father, would you allow us to properly grieve the pain that's in our lives. But would you not let us get stuck there or trapped by that pain. Would you begin, dear Lord, to set us free as we remember the work of the cross? As you allow the Lord to speak to your heart, I just in prayer also want to make sure that each person here has had a chance to have a true relationship with Jesus Christ as your head is bowed. If you're here this morning and the first parent you need to honor is your heavenly Father, you might have seen a lot of religion in church in your day, but you've never really come to that place where you yourself have made a decision to give your life to Christ, to repent of the wrong way of living, repent of your sin, and follow Christ to the cross. If you're here today and you need to make that decision to ask God to forgive you of your sin and for Jesus to become the Lord of your life and begin a new life and receive a new heart and new spirit, I'm going to ask that you just raise your hand and look up at me as you do so I know that's the decision you're making today. Is there anyone here today who, for the first time or not in a long time, needs to make that decision to know Christ? Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else needs to make that decision today? So, Father, we thank you for what we hold in our hands, the reminder and symbol of the broken body and the shed blood. Lord, you willingly endured pain to know our pain and to bring us healing. Lord, your blood was shed. What the Bible always says is the key to life. Lord, life was taken in sin and you gave your life, your blood in return. Father, we thank you for forgiveness. May each of us grow in understanding what that forgiveness looks like. We take the bread now. We will remember this scripture in Isaiah 53 that says, by your stripes we are healed. Lord, we ask that healing to flow to our relationship with our parents. That, Lord, the right peace would be put into our life so that we could have peace and love and joy with all. Thank you for, Lord, your mercy and your grace. Lord, may our pride be broken and may the stronghold of bitterness be broken in our life. So that, Lord, once again, we can be free to give freely. Would you take now and eat the body that was broken for you? We hold the cup that is the reminder of the shed blood of Jesus Christ in a world that wants us only to focus on our own wants and desires, what we are owed, what we are entitled to. We remember that God, although you created this world, and though you love this world, that you gave your Son to be crucified and condemned by it, so that, Lord, we would have forgiveness. Lord, speak to each person's heart about what that forgiveness looks like and help them to grow continually in love with you. And the night he betrayed, he took the cup and said, this is the blood, the forgiveness of sin, the blood of the new covenant that we are offered to have good and fresh and clean relationship with God. Would you take now and drink the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of your sins? I'm just going to invite you to take a moment of your own thanks and your own commitment to God and your own desire to honor. Would you just take a moment and ask the Lord to grow you and to have this peace, this important peace in your life. And then I'll close this in prayer. Deacons, would you come up with your spouses to be available for prayer at the end of the service? So, Father, now we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for the truth of your word. My prayer for each person here is that they would have a life that it would go well with them and that they would enjoy long life. Lord, for whatever you call us to, the days short or long we have, may we live it in freedom and love, especially being grateful for those that you've given us, and work your redemption in those places, Lord, that we would truly be able to honor and, Father, be set free. We remember all this with the words of the Lord's Prayer and the words of the Psalms as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. As you go this morning, at each of the doors, there's a basket with puzzle pieces in it. I want to encourage you as you go to take a puzzle piece as a reminder of this important piece in your life. And may God's grace follow you in all your decisions. God bless you.